You're not meant to live out your faith by yourself. Guess what? When you go to heaven, you won't be alone. I just wrecked it for some of you. You're like, what? I want my own little house by the beach. No! You won't be by yourself because you're not meant to be alone. Bartimaeus started following Jesus, what? With everyone else who was following Jesus. Because he needed them. And you need them. All right, everyone close your eyes. Everyone close your eyes. Tight shut, no peeking. I can see you. Close your eyes, nice tight shut. Okay. Tight shut, no peeking. Close them for a second. What if this was your life? What if you couldn't see anything and all you saw was darkness? For the rest of your life, that's all you saw. For some of you, right now, that is what you see, because you're in a dark place. You're in a dark circumstance. You're in a place where I don't know what to do. I don't know how to get past this. I don't know how to move forward. And you're asking these questions. You're like, this is a very difficult time. How do I get past this? Well, first is, don't open your eyes for my entire message. Just kidding. You can open your eyes now. Today we're continuing our series, You Asked For It. Everybody say, You Asked For It. And we've been talking about different questions people ask, and about the Bible, about God, about Christianity, about following the Lord, about life. What are some questions that people have and have been asking me over the years? Some of you have sent in questions. And I want to talk about one that's familiar to all of us, and that's this. What do I do when I don't know what to do? Anybody ever face that? What do I do when I don't know what to do? Anybody else face that? A few of us like, no, I always know what to do. You do not. A bunch of liars in here. What do I do when I don't know what to do? All of us have faced circumstances. I don't know what my next step should be. I don't know how to deal with this problem. This difficulty is so big. It's like being in a valley that's so dark and all you see is a giant mountain in front of you. And that mountain is your problem. It's either your physical condition or an illness of someone else, or a financial issue or a marriage issue or a life issue or a mental issue. We have a lot of issues, don't we? What do I do when I don't know what to do? Well, to help us learn the answer to that, we're going to look at a story about a guy who's known as Blind Bartimaeus. Now, the truth is, he didn't stay blind forever, which you're going to find out in a minute. Just I gave away the story. Now you guys know what happens. Blind Bartimaeus, he has an encounter with Jesus, and we're going to pull out some principles, some spiritual principles for our life that'll help us deal with situations when we don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to deal with this. And so we're going to look in Mark chapter 10 and start in verse 46. And as we go through this, we're going to pull out a few things. Everyone say, I'm ready.
I'm ready.
Here we go. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. Anybody here ever seen a beggar before? Somebody, right? Not just a panhandler, but someone who's literally begging. Someone who's got a disability, who's maybe blind or losing a limb. If you're in another country, you see that quite a bit. He's actually begging. What do I do when I don't know what to do? And it's interesting. I just want to pull out something. First, I want to give a disclaimer. I know here that Bartimaeus is literally blind. He literally has a physical condition he cannot see. But I do believe that in this story we can pull out some spiritual principles that will help us with our literal issue. Okay? What do we do? Number one, you have to write this down. You need to identify what's keeping you from moving forward. You have to identify what's keeping you from moving forward. Pop quiz. What was Bartimaeus's big problem? He was blind. That's his issue. He's blind. What's your issue? You have to identify what is your problem and what is keeping you from moving forward so that you can deal with the issue. That's number one. What's the issue here? You guys follow me right now?
Yeah.
This should be common sense, but sometimes we get so wrapped up in the stuff, we forget just, okay, let's first isolate the problem, okay? I actually read an article some years ago about this lady who had an operation, and then she got really sick afterwards, And they couldn't figure out what's wrong with her. So finally, they decided to take an x-ray of where she had an operation, and the doctor had left the scissors inside of her. They needed to identify the problem, okay? Some of you need to identify the problem. You've got, if you will, scissors sticking inside of you somewhere, and you got to figure out, okay, it's hurting over here, but you're looking over here. Like, oh, what's over here? We got to figure out the problem. Bartimaeus' problem was he's blind. He can't see. Imagine if that was your life. Imagine if all you could see for your entire life was darkness. That would be pretty crazy, wouldn't it? And some people still have that problem. What are you going to do with it? I was out to dinner with my wife the other day because I'm a good husband. And so we walked into McDonald's. Just kidding, we weren't there. We were out to dinner, and I was holding the door for this man, and I wasn't paying too much attention, this man and this lady. And then there was another person, and I turned, and it was a lady she was in a wheelchair. But not just a wheelchair, she was in one of those electric wheelchairs. She had to control it with her mouth. You ever seen people that have that disability? And she had to control it with her mouth. And so she's going, and I'm holding the door for her, and she looks at me, and she's got the biggest smile, and she says, "Thank you, young man." And I was like, "Yes, I'm still young." And I was like, that's so amazing. It really spoke to my heart, because this woman was dealing with major obstacles that I won't be able to understand. You guys don't understand what it's like to be blind because you're not blind. You don't understand what it's like to have to deal with those type of disabilities, those type of obstacles. We all have obstacles we deal with that other people don't understand. But here's the issue. This lady, which is so awesome, is that she didn't let the obstacle keep her down. She could have still just played the victim and just been home and said, "Well, I'm never going to go out because this is a big obstacle." But she didn't. She had a good attitude. She had a heart. She was smiling. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. Identify what the problem is. Identify what the problem is so that you can start moving forward. The spiritual blindness oftentimes comes in our lives and makes it difficult for us to see. How many know that's true? The spiritual blindness, because spiritual blindness comes for many reasons. Because of our sin. This is the biggest problem. Because of our attitude, because of our unforgiveness, because of our hate, because of whatever it is, and you get so wrapped up in the problem that you can't see your way forward. Watch what Bartimaeus does next. In Mark chapter 10, verse 47, it says, when he heard, who's that? Bartimaeus. When he heard that it was Jesus coming by, Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout. Everyone say shout. Shout, shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." I think this is a big point. He shouts, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." When I don't know what to do, I need to turn to Jesus because he always knows what to do. How many know that's true? When I don't know what to do, I need to turn to Jesus because he always knows what to do. And that's exactly what Bartimaeus does, because he shouts to Jesus. So what do we learn from that? What do I do when I don't know what to do? You need to shout to Jesus for the answer. It seems like just simple common sense, doesn't it? But you know what I find with us most of the time is that we don't shout to Jesus for the answer, we complain. Anybody? I spend more time complaining about my problem than I do shouting to Jesus for the answer. Can I get a witness? You know it's true, because you complain to me. "Pastor, you're not going to believe what's going on." And Bartimaeus could have said, "Oh, I'm blind, what?" He could have just boo-hooed and whoa and wailed and whimpered, but all of a sudden he hears something, and he says, "Jesus is coming to town." And he shouts to Jesus for mercy. He shouts to Jesus. Imagine for a second you're Bartimaeus, okay? And you're blind. Now, just to help you understand the cultural context, if you had a disability like that, and if you were stricken with blindness, or you had some sort of disability, you were kind of considered an outcast, right? You were kind of considered unclean. In other words, a lot of people thought you were that way because God was punishing you. Because you did something so wrong, you're blind. And your handicap, or whatever it is that they had issues, this very kind of weird culture that they had. And so Bartimaeus is sitting there and he's begging, he's hoping anyone would give him something, and he hears this little rumor. Now, he's already heard about Jesus because Jesus was the single most famous person who had ever lived. People were following him by the masses. Word spread like wildfire, and that's before you could tweet it or post it. And Bartimaeus had heard about this guy named Jesus who was doing miracles. He's like, could it possibly be true? Could he really do those things? I don't know. And he probably thought in his heart, man, if I ever get the opportunity to meet Jesus, I'm going to put all my cards on the table. I'm all in. And so he hears that Jesus in the out of the city. And he could have been socially awkward. Well, I don't want to make a scene, you know, and I don't know if I should say anything. He could have been like within himself and stuck in himself. But instead what he did is he said, I am not going to shut my mouth. And he begins to shout for Jesus. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. I've got an issue that only you can solve. Isn't that amazing? And he begins to shout to Jesus for mercy. He hears about Jesus. He knows Jesus is coming. And he says, you know what? I'm not going to just complain about my problem. Oh, I'm blind. He's too far. No, he starts screaming. He says, Jesus, Son of David. Have you been shouting to Jesus? Or have you been spending your time just complaining? Psalms 18:6 says, in my distress, I called to the Lord. Who? I called to the Lord. I cried to God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. When you don't know what to do, you need to shout to Jesus. You need to call out to him. Now, we are deep in the throes of NFL season. Preseason games are going on right now. Some of you have been checking the stats while I'm preaching. And what's amazing is over the next couple of months, over 18 million people will go to stadiums across the United States and will shout for their team. Now, I'm not saying that's wrong. They should have a good time. They'll shout, go, make the pass, you idiot ref. They'll shout, they'll scream, even for the Raiders. It's amazing. And they never win. 18 million people will be screaming for their team. When's the last time you shouted for Jesus? Jesus, Son of David, Bartimaeus says. I've identified my problem and I've heard you're coming by. Show mercy on me. Isn't it amazing how excited we get for things of this world and we are lackluster when it comes to Jesus sometimes? When you don't know what to do, you need to shout to Jesus. Shout to Jesus for the win. I think there's power in this. The Bible's covered with verses about shouting to the Lord. I'm not saying you need to be ridiculous. I'm not saying you need to be out of hand. But there's this heart in it, right? That says, man, God, I need you. Jesus, I'm calling to you. And would you just hear me? Would you turn your ear towards me and listen? I've got an issue. I don't know what to do here. And I'm calling to the one who knows what to do. Watch what happens next. Verse 48. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. Everyone say, be quiet. Be quiet. But he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. What can we learn from this? When I don't know what to do, what do I do? And I want you to write this down. When you don't know what to do, expect opposition and shout louder. Yes. I like this point. Everyone say, expect opposition. When Laura and I first moved from Oregon to California, we were very young, very newly married, and I was going to go into the ministry and go to Bible college. I got a lot of opposition from my family. A lot of opposition. Like, it was awkward for probably a couple of years. When we moved out of Poway and we came here to start Fusion Christian Church, we got a lot of opposition. You know, whenever you decide to do something for the Lord, whenever you decide to make a godly change in your life, you're going to face opposition. And it doesn't necessarily come from just family. It comes from people around you. It could come from your own mind and your own heart. It definitely comes from the enemy. You're going to face opposition. Here's a blind man. Could you imagine the crowd? Here's a blind man who desperately wants to be healed. I've got an issue, and I've heard about a man named Jesus who can help me. And he starts shouting out to him, and the people around, hey, you just shut your mouth. You just be quiet. We don't want to hear from you right now. Right? Could you imagine? Whenever you want to make a godly change in your life, you're going to face opposition. Bartimaeus is facing opposition. Some of you want to make a godly change in your life. Some of you want to make steps forward. Some of you have a heart, say, man, I don't want to live like this anymore. I don't like this blindness, this issue in my life. I need to get it off of me. You need to rise above the noise. Did you hear me? You need to rise above the noise, the things the enemy might tell you, the things he might make you believe, the things you've been believing about yourself, the hindrances that you've got going on in your life, and you say, you know what? Even though they tell me to be quiet, I'm going to shout even louder. And in other words, I'm going to press forward into God even more than ever before. What do I do when I don't know what to do? I shout even louder. And I always find it funny when people are like, they face opposition, they face a struggle, they face a difficulty, like it's a surprise. You know what's a surprise? Winning the lottery. That's a surprise. Right? What else is a surprise? You know, your kid's telling you, hey, we're going to have another baby. You're going to have another grandbaby. That's a surprise. No one's told me that, by the way. You're going to come after church and say, who's having a baby? No one's told me that. People remembering it's my birthday. That's a surprise. March 14th, by the way. Why are we surprised when we face troubles? Why are we surprised when we face opposition? Why are we surprised when we face difficulties? Why? Jesus said, in this life, you will have trouble. But he said, take heart, I've overcome. Who's overcome? Jesus has overcome. So I shout even louder to the one who has already overcome, because my win can only come from him. Got to rise above the noise. It's not the volume, by the way. It's the who I'm shouting to. It's the who you're shouting to. Don't stop shouting to God. Philippians 3, Paul gives us his attitude. He says, but one thing I do in regards to facing opposition, he goes, forgetting what's behind me and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize. Everyone say, I press on. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So, things didn't work out so well in your past. Anybody? Things didn't quite go the way you thought they would. Things maybe aren't quite going the way you thought they would. You made some mistakes. You've got some hurts. You've got some pains. I'm not trying to make light of those things. You've got some wounds that you're still licking, that you're still leaving open, that you should let God stitch shut, by the way. And you've got these things that are keeping you from moving forward, and the devil would like nothing more than for you to say it's too hard. The devil would like nothing more, the enemy would like nothing more for you to say it's too difficult. The enemy would have liked nothing more than for Bartimaeus to keep his mouth shut and not have a miracle for us to read about in the Bible. He would have liked nothing more. He said, no, you just stay blind. That's your destiny. That's your plan. That's all God has for you, is that blindness. You're just going to be a beggar for the rest of your life, Bartimaeus. And Bartimaeus says, no, I don't think that's all that God has for me. And so you've got baggage. And you keep carrying that baggage your whole life. And you forget that the things that God has forgiven you of, the past is the past, and you can't do anything with it. All you can do is move forward. But you keep looking in the rearview mirror, reliving the thing all over again. Anybody here got spiritual rearview mirror syndrome? Like, man, I can't believe I did that. And you just keep living, and then you live in this loathing and this shame. And we forget that when we've repented of it, when we've come to the Lord and asked for forgiveness, that he's washed us clean. Completely clean. I love this whole idea of Bartimaeus coming to the Lord and he's like, okay, I'm facing opposition, but I'm not going to let it keep me down. I'm not going to let the opposition keep me from all that God has for me. And maybe you have opposition in your mind. Maybe you have opposition in your heart. You're like, oh no, God's never going to do anything with me. God's never going to use me. If you knew who I was, you would walk in here every Sunday and go, I cannot believe that guy's the pastor. Anybody else? Because God works miracles. God does great things. Some people aren't going to like the changes that you're making. It will be inconvenient for them. They'll tell you, stop talking about your Jesus stuff. I don't want to hear about that kind of stuff. There'll be opposition. You know what you do? You just shout all the louder. What do I do when I don't know what to do? Watch what happens next, verse 49. Jesus stopped. Everyone say stopped. And said, call him. So they called to the blind man, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and he came to Jesus. What do I do when I don't know what to do? Well, write this down. You need to get on your feet and move toward Jesus. Get on your feet and move toward Jesus. I'm hoping that I can help us understand the context here, the magnitude of what's going on. I want you to focus on this whole idea that Jesus stopped. That Jesus stopped for one blind man. How amazing is that? Sometimes we read through the Bible and we forget the little things. Sometimes the little things are the most profound. The creator of the universe stopped for one blind man. He's hearing the call for mercy. He's hearing the call for change. He's hearing the call for a miracle. And the great I am stops and says, call him. He stopped. Here's what you need to understand, is that Jesus stopped for you on the cross. Jesus stopped for you in the grave. Jesus stopped for you when he rose from the dead. Why? Because he heard the call of mercy. And he says, listen, I hear you calling me, and I want you to know that you have my full attention. Jesus stopped. And sometimes we get so wrapped up, we think God's too busy. Oh, God's not going to answer. Oh, God's not going to do this thing. And Jesus stopped for one blind man. Isn't it amazing how much God loves each and every one of us individually that he would stop and give us his attention? Isn't that amazing? And then that means that when he does, we have to get up and we have to move toward him. Now, I know that you some of you sit here and you know about Jesus, but are you moving toward him? So you can sit and know about Jesus all day long, but are you moving toward him? Are you doing the things that you need to do to grow in relationship with him? Say, I need to get closer to Jesus. Bartimaeus could have sat there and he could have been like, oh no, I can't do this. I'm too blind and I've just got too many things going on in my life. I've got too much going on, you know, and I've just got all this struggle happening and I just think this is too difficult. I don't know what I'm going to do. And he could have played the victim. I'm going to help some of you right now. As long as you live with a victim mindset, you will not find a place of freedom. If you continue to be the victim, you will not find freedom. That mindset will just keep you stuck. But Bartimaeus didn't do that. You know what he did? He jumped up. The blind man jumped up and threw off his cloak. Why did he throw off his cloak? Because it was a beggar's cloak. He's like, I'm not going to be this guy anymore. I don't want to be a beggar anymore. I don't want to be this person who's just sitting on the side of the highway blind and just asking people for money all the time. And so what he did is he threw off his cloak and he started walking towards Jesus, which is an example to all of us. When I'm stuck in the muck, what do? I can either play the victim or I can throw it off and start moving towards the great I am. What are you going to do? I think we need to start moving towards Jesus. We have to start moving towards Jesus. I'm not sitting here anymore, he said. And it wasn't self-help, by the way. It was Jesus' help. Notice the person he's turning toward. He was like, I'm going to do this on my own. No, he couldn't do it on his own. He needed Jesus. See, Jesus is the central figure for all of our issues. He's the one who can come and heal the blindness and heal the brokenness and take care of the need and begin to get light in the darkness. And so we turn toward him. It's not self-help, it's Jesus' help. I need Jesus. That's why he shouted to Jesus for mercy. What do I do when I don't know what to do? Look at the next part. He says, what do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Go, said Jesus, your faith has healed you. What do you do when you don't know what to do? Give your problem to Jesus. He's the miracle worker. Give your problem to Jesus. He's the miracle worker. Everyone say, the miracle worker. He's the miracle worker. He's the one who does miracles. Do you believe that God can still do miracles? Anybody? I think we say that sometimes, but we're like, I don't know. Probably not. Maybe that was just Bible times. That was kind of cool. But I don't really think he can really do miracles. I believe in a God who still does miracles. I believe he can still do miracles. Why? Because I believe that he has never lost his power. In the past few months, I have prayed for people who have had heart surgery, who have had shoulder issues, people who have wanted a baby, people who are dealing with marriage issues, people with financial troubles, people with brain tumors, people with all kinds of issues. Why? Because I believe in a God who still does miracles. I believe in a God who can still do it. Now, why do I pray for them? Not because I have any power, because I pray to him who does have the power. Bartimaeus had to move to the one who had the power, who could do the miracle, who could take the blindness off of his eyes. He says, Jesus, I just want to see. He didn't need to go to anybody else. He just went straight to the source. And he says, go, your faith has healed you. Psalm 77, 14 says, you are the God who performs miracles. Everyone say miracles. You display your power among the peoples. I think it's high time that God's church, God's people, that's us, begin to really believe in a God who can do miracles. And we pray and we say, God, I'm believing that you can do this, and now I'm going to leave the results up to you. And that's all that Bartimaeus could do. He had to go to Jesus and leave the results to Jesus. And that's what we need to do in our life. We leave the results to Jesus. The last thing I want to point out is verse 52. What do you do when you don't know what to do? Immediately, it says in verse 52, he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. This is a big deal. Immediately, he received his what?
Sight.
Who was the first person he saw?
Jesus.
Isn't that amazing? He received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. There's a lot I can say about this last part of the verse. But if you don't know what to do, here's what you should do. You should follow Jesus. It's just that plain and simple. You should follow Jesus. Not following somebody's ideas, not following somebody's, plan. I know people who, I follow this social media pastor and this guy and this counselor. Here's who you should follow. You need to follow Jesus. That's the person we follow. When Bartimaeus got his sight, when he began to see, the first time he could see, he sees Jesus, and what do? He follows Jesus. Oftentimes when God does a miracle in our life, it's not uncommon for people to forget about God. The Israelites did that. God did amazing miracles and brought them out of Egypt, and then they forgot about him. Don't let that be you. And here's the other thing that's interesting about Bartimaeus following Jesus is he doesn't follow Jesus alone. He actually followed Jesus with a community of people that were following Jesus too. You're not meant to live your faith out by yourself. You're meant to do it in community. You're meant to follow Jesus in community. And some of you have been fighting against community. I'm just going to be really honest with you. You come in late and you leave early. You don't get into small groups. You're not plugging in. You're just like, well, I'm too busy for that. Listen, this is why some of the struggles that you're having in your life, you're having. Why? Because you're not meant to live out your faith by yourself. Guess what? When you go to heaven, you won't be alone. I just wrecked it for some of you. You're like, what? I want my own little house by the beach. No. You won't be by yourself because you're not meant to be alone. Bartimaeus started following Jesus, what? With everyone else who was following Jesus. Because he needed them. And you need them. You need God's people. Stop living out your faith alone. You're not that cool. You're not. Neither am I. We need God's people. We need God's house. We need to connect. Follow Jesus.